The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 16th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I didn't think I had it in me today. I feel just as bad as I did yesterday, but I gave it a go. I figured I couldn't shortchange the folks 2 days in a row, Christian.
So. I mean, I was about to say, like, it fired me up. I can now officially on the line today.
I thought about just clipping a pre-recorded intro from the previous show and just playing that to start and just jumping in.
And then happy Tuesday.
Everybody, and then just keep going. I did think about it, but I decided not to. No, happy Tuesday. We appreciate you being here. This is On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back, whether that's good, whether that's bad, whether it has anything to do with sports. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But we have a loaded show today, and no scheduled guests, which means we get to kind of bounce around, and we have a ton of topics to go over. Whether it be the transfer portal, whether it be college basketball, whether it be if you want to discuss your phone bill, we can do that, or anything that you want to talk about. But, yeah, happy Tuesday, Christian.
Only certain phone bills with certain companies, though. Not all of them.
Oh, jeez.
But if you would like to support War Eagle Mobile, you could.
I think we should start an on-the-line mobile.
How many people do you think
would sign up? I'll send you a free BlackBerry with any
purchase. Does it have Brick Breaker?
Of course.
Okay.
It actually can't make phone calls or text. It only has Brick Breaker on it. Yeah.
It's like those apps or the iPods that now are selling for like thousands of dollars because they have the original Flappy Bird on there.
I remember when that went down. Yeah. Good stuff. We're too old now.
Those were good days.
Nobody
even knows what we're talking about
back
anymore.
In the day, I had to carry a cell phone in one pocket and an iPod Touch in the other pocket because...
Did yours have the screen or did it just have the wheel?
What?
Your iPod.
No, I had the... Well, I started with the... Yeah, just the wheel.
The little clip you clipped it on?
Is that Nano? And then I had the skinny one that had the tiny little screen on it with the buttons on it. I forget what that one was called. The iPod... Not iPod Color, but
something like that.
And then I upgraded in the world and had a phone, just like a flip phone in one pocket and a legit iPod Touch in the other pocket. And then eventually they did this crazy thing and they combined them. And I finally got an iPhone at some point.
The one that only had the screen or the only had the little circle, that was the iPod Shuffle.
Ah, that was the iPod Shuffle. The iPod Nano
had the little screen on there.
A little rectangle almost.
Yeah, they doubled the size.
Good stuff. Good times back then.
Then we went iPod Mini. Then we went iPod Classic. Now we're iPod Touch. Now we're just whatever you could imagine.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. But no, happy Tuesday. Again, a lot to get to. We will maybe talk about phones and things that Auburn has introduced today. I don't know if I... My mama said that if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. So we may just not say it at all. I don't know. But other than that, we do have a full show for you this afternoon.
Does she also let you know why Gators are always mad? No?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Here to start the show today, we're talking about the biggest names, basically outside of Auburn, that have entered the transfer portals. There's some big-time quarterbacks that have planned to enter. There's some former Auburn quarterbacks that are in there. You're going to be surprised with some names if you haven't seen them already. We have some biggest news ever about a quarterback who's staying in the SEC. We're also going to talk about how it took all of 3 years max for basically people to find loopholes in college football and in the NCAA and in NIL and all of the revenue sharing, everything like that. We talked about Utah a week or so ago. We now have new news on a new school that is, again, just finding loopholes that the NCAA will not be able to say no to. And then Jacob mentioned it. We're talking a little bit of college basketball at 2:30 and 2:45. We got the latest bracketology. Where does Auburn sit? How many SEC teams are scheduled in there? We'll give you all of that information and some really good games in college basketball tonight. All of that coming up here in hour number one.
Yeah, and so phone lines are open today. I just got your reference, by the way. I forgot about that quote. phone lines are open today if you'd like to be a part of the show. You can absolutely do so on anything we're talking about or anything that you want to talk about. We're happy to discuss it with you. 334-321-1390. Again, that phone line number is 334-321-1390, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And just an FYI, not right now, but at some point in the first hour and at some point in the second hour of today's show, so between 2 and 3 and between 3 and 4, we are going to have a little call to call, basically, and we're giving away some gift cards this afternoon. Our friends at Rally House have hooked us up. If you're looking for last-minute Christmas shopping, as in like week before, a.k.a. me, I'll be out Christmas shopping this evening, and I will, in fact, be at Rally House at some point. They've hooked us up with some last-minute Christmas gift cards for you. And so, again, we will tell you when to call. It'll be first come, first serve. We're giving away more $50 gift cards as we normally do when we're on location out there, once per hour for the next 4 hours. So between On the Line and the Drive, we've got some Rally House gift cards. We're giving away $50 gift cards. So we'll tell you, it'll be very impromptu. It could be coming back from a segment. It could be going into a commercial break. It could be in the middle of a conversation. But we're going to do that once an hour for the next 4 hours, giving $50 Rally House gift cards away.
By the next break, I'm going to have a word that I say sometime in hour number two. And when I say the word, the first caller.
That sounds really overly complicated.
You just got to be tuned in. You never seen those?
What are you going to tell them? Hey, I'm about to say the word, and then you say it?
No, but this is not it. But, for example, if I said the word is, we'll stick with Gator. And then in hour number two, and I'm just talking about anything random, and I say the word Gator.
I don't know. That sounds way too complicated.
Well,
I say we go with the phone call. I think the phone call is a lot easier. And just be like, hey, call me right now. Don't, but call me right now. And the first one to get it gets it.
It's no fun.
You're right. I'm no fun. That's what I was called in high school. Okay, so let's get into sports talk since we're 8 minutes in and have yet to do so. The transfer portal continues to be a wild place that isn't even a thing yet, but you wouldn't know it by all of the planned entries, and now we've got guys renewing their deals or re-signing their deals or renegotiating their deals. I mean, some of the big names that are in the transfer portal, there's just as many big names who are not entering the transfer portal, Christian, and it's free agency. That's literally what we're looking at is year-to-year free agency.
I mean, it's what we've talked about and everybody's talked about so long. It's one-year rentals for your team, for every single team, for every single position. And if you're lucky and you have the money that your player that you get out of the transfer portal or from the high school level has a good enough year and they want more and you have money to be able to fill what is basically a cap space now,
yeah,
then both parties can be perfectly happy. And no, I wasn't going to leave. I wasn't going to threaten that entering the portal or anything. What do you mean, coach? I've always, you know, whatever.
I just need more money just to make sure.
Right. But it's always been go Ducks. Like, coach, I've never, never thought about anything.
Why would I
else.
Go to Tuscaloosa?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, but it is. It is one-year rentals, and right now you're seeing a bunch of names that plan to enter. You've already heard plenty that have, you mentioned it, renegotiated new contracts. Lenoris Sellers was the first one this year. It was Jalen Daniels for Kansas last year that was the first one to do so. And that really took the college football landscape by storm, because then every player said, oh, you know what? Let me use this as leverage and let me try and renegotiate a new deal, because, coach, I made 38 tackles last year. I deserve something more than what I was already getting if you want me to do that again next year. How many of these guys that have so-called plan to enter the portal, are they going to stay at their old school? Maybe some of them, but again, you already have websites, 247, you have Fox that has these big-time websites that's already listed every single person who, this doesn't even say plans to enter, and so it makes it to where, why is there even a two-week period? College football transfer portal position rankings, and you just see all of these names that have already decided that they want to take their talents or leverage, but a majority of them take their talents elsewhere in college football.
Yeah, we talked about it on the way out yesterday. Some of the big names, at least at quarterback, that have planned on entering the transfer portal, Aiden Childs from Michigan State, DJ Lagway from Florida, Sam Levitt from Arizona State. Right, those are huge names that are planning on entering the transfer portal. But then we've learned today of at least two big quarterbacks that are not planning on entering the transfer portal, that are returning after renegotiating their deals with their current schools, with Maiava being one of them, Jaden Maiava out at USC, which I think is huge. And then, you know, the breaking news of Arch Manning staying at Texas, which you feel like is a big deal. You feel like that's pretty impressive for Texas, who underachieved this year, no doubt, to secure him for another season in Austin.
It's crazy to think that we use the word underachieved with Texas after it took about 5 weeks for college football as a whole to go, yeah, maybe we did throw too much on Arch Manning. Maybe we did put too much pressure on him for not having true legitimate snaps. And they were the favorite to go win the national championship. He was the Heisman favorite. Okay, maybe we should take a little bit of this pressure off. And once you hit the back half of the season, he did play. He played fairly well. Played really, really well.
Yeah.
And yeah, for Texas now to be able to bring back the star-studded piece of their offense, they're losing a couple running backs to the transfer portal, as according to 24/7, C.J. Baxter is the second-ranked running back in the portal now, and Jarrett Gibson is the third. Both are top of the line, three stars, all behind Dylan Edwards, the running back from Kansas State, who has prepared to enter the portal. But yeah, being able to go and get or keep your big quarterback makes things that much more simple for Texas, who you know is going to be able to go get a couple star receivers, probably a star transfer running back, and some offensive linemen to build around Arch Manning, but not having to go through the stress of the offseason wondering who the quarterback is going to be.
This is a totally impromptu question that I'm throwing at you right now, and I'm throwing it out to our listeners as well, because I'm fascinated to hear what people have to say. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you could shoot us a text in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We're several years into the transfer portal now, and I'm curious on where you stand, Christian, on evaluation in the transfer portal in terms of their rankings, in terms of their market value, right? We're starting to throw that term around some more. How much stock, I guess, is the question I'm asking. How much stock do you put into someone's transfer portal ranking, what they're supposed to be? Oh, I'm the third best running back in the transfer.
Sure.
How much stock do you put in that, given the success stories that we've seen, right? The last three Heisman Trophy winners, last four Heisman Trophy winners have come from the transfer portal. Is that right? Fernando Mendoza, Travis Hunter, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams all were transfers.
And you feel like you could go even... Even if you skipped a year or two, you feel like you could go
you
even further
Bryce
than that.
You skip Bryce Young, Devonta Smith. He started at Bama, didn't he? Joe Burrow.
But Joe Burrow's in there. I know Baker's in there.
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Is in there. Baker. Lamar Jackson. No, he was at Louisville the whole time. So, but that was also 2016. So the portal wasn't really a thing. But, or at least to what it is now.
But again, to show you, 60% or more.
Yeah.
Of the last decade and a half.
So the highs are very high. Again, you got Heisman winning quarterbacks that have come from the transfer portal going one place to another.
Yeah.
But the lows of the low are what I think we've seen at Auburn in a lot of instances in the receiver room or the offensive line or at quarterback, mm-hmm. right? So how much stock do you put in all these conversations that we're having of, man, this Auburn is going after the second best right tackle in the transfer portal, or man, he's going after, that's a top five linebacker. Yeah. How much stock do you put in that right now?
I think some of it comes from the rooms themselves, because obviously when you're looking at like high school recruiting classes, sometimes classes are stacked, and other times there's ones, okay, it's going to be a little bit of a lighter class. But taking Auburn out of this conversation, I will not say...
Yeah, I'm saying across college
yeah,
football.
I will not yeah. say as much as I think you should, because there are college coaches now who are paid to evaluate. They are paid to see, okay, this is what I like, this is what works with our system, rather than going and get the five-star, top-of-the-line guy. Let's go get that four-star, kind of middle-of-the-pack, the 12th-ranked quarterback that has a little bit more mobility, takes care of the football, doesn't have the pure athleticism that the number one or the number two guys have. That being said, you look at what he does offensively, you look at the leadership qualities, you look at things like that, and evaluation should mean a little bit more when you're bringing kids in rather than just simply a star or a ranking or wherever he played the year before. And I guess that I was tying Auburn out of it, but I guess, or I was taking Auburn out of it, but I guess it ties Auburn back in because, yeah, like what you were saying, we've sat there and said, all right, look at the five-star we just brought in. Look at the top four-star that we brought in. Look at the talent that's coming in. But they either didn't fit the system, or half the time we didn't know what the system was offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But you got names that whatever the system was didn't fit, or lost confidence, or whatever the case may be, because it wasn't that right system fit, and Auburn's paid for it over the past couple of years.
Well, I think you have to look at, as much as college football fans may not want to, right? Look at what Indiana's doing right now.
Sure.
That team is full of James Madison football players.
Yeah, it's a three-star team.
They don't have a single five-star on the roster.
No.
They have, I think, six or seven four-stars, and the rest of them are three-stars and below, right? And so for Kurt Cignetti, he brought a lot of his players, yes, from James Madison because they were his players, but they also fit his system. But then you double down on that as you go back and look at the transfer portal rankings from last year, according to 247, right? I'm looking in the top 50 of just players overall. You know who's not on that list? Fernando Mendoza, who is your Heisman Trophy winner in 2025. I've seen five and now six quarterbacks on this list, seven now, as we continue on. There's no way he's this low, and maybe there's some different... I don't know. Maybe this isn't set up exactly how I thought it was, but I'm still scrolling and don't see Fernando, so I don't know why he wouldn't be, unless he's just right. I mean, I'm outside the top 100 right now looking at quarterbacks.
For some reason,
going,
I remember seeing something. This might have just been overall, but I feel like the number 147th stands out.
I'm looking. I mean, I'm at 115. Again, this is 247 from, I mean, I'm looking at, hold on.
You're at 2024.
I'm in 2024.
Yeah, you were looking at Curtis Rourke. I see it right now.
I was in 2020. But
Fernando,
I know
Mendoza was a four-star quarterback.
He was still one of the top transfers, but he wasn't the top transfer, right? So
no.
My evidence is not going to be as good, and my argument has fallen apart, but I'm about to save it. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Here's your transfer quarterbacks a year ago, right? Nico. Going to UCLA. Carson Beck going from Georgia to Miami. John Mateer going from Washington State to Oklahoma. There's three or four quarterbacks there. Continuing on, looking for another quarterback. There's Fernando Mendoza. He was the fourth highest ranked quarterback in the portal last year, but Indiana went after him because they thought he fit their system. It helps that his younger brother plays there too. But that's the guy they wanted. Wasn't that they couldn't get John Mateer. They wanted Fernando. And they went and got him. And guess what? A lot of other teams wanted Fernando Mendoza too. And you saw why. Because he just raised the Heisman Trophy in New York City on Saturday night. So the question that I proposed, and we'll talk more about this on the other side, is how much stock should we put in the transfer portal in terms of the rankings by the position, by the school that they come from, right? We talk about that in high school rankings all the time. 1A football is different than 7A football. It is. It's just a fact. Doesn't mean you're not good, but the quality of opponent that you play matters. How much stock do we put in all of that? Plus, what else is going on in the transfer portal? We'll talk about that when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as we continue talking the transfer portal and the names that are in it, the names who are not going to be in it. And I've seen some Auburn fans have a little bit of fun today on the internet because a couple of former Auburn Tigers are not only in the transfer portal, Christian, they are back in the transfer portal.
And back.
And back.
Hold on, one,
only
two,
one. One of them's only been in it. This is his second time, right? Yeah. Holden Gurner is in the transfer portal. Transfer from Auburn to Texas State.
Yes.
And now is in the transfer portal again. But something he has in common with this other guy was that he has also been at Texas State.
And at Auburn.
And
but
at
Holden
Georgia
hasn't
State.
Been at LSU, and at Georgia LSU. State, Tulane.
And at Tulane.
Oh, gosh, there's one more. Hold on. LSU, Auburn, Texas State, Tulane, Georgia State.
I think that's
maybe it. Maybe it is just five.
Yeah, because he's transferring out to Georgia State right now, right? No, he's going for his seventh year of eligibility.
Yes.
But did he spend 2 years at Auburn?
I think he did.
I think he spent 2 years at Auburn, and now this young man.
Ah, Western Kentucky.
That's right. Thank you, Jack. Yes. Oh, I forgot about the Western Kentucky. Six schools in 6 years, and this man.
Yeah, Western Kentucky. Yeah, because he played decent at Western Kentucky. Then went to Texas State and had a great year, and then transferred to Tulane, and everybody was like, why?
Yeah, pretty much. I wanted to say this young man, but no, that doesn't fit this scenario anymore. This is a grown man that is applying for his seventh year of eligibility in college football. If you haven't figured it out by now, I don't know where you've been. TJ Finley is intending to enter the transfer portal again and leaving Georgia State and applying for his seventh year of eligibility.
Yo, Golish, you up?
it's remarkable, dude. And I get it. Like, you want to play. I get it, but
I'm sure playing is one thing, but he knows he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
I think you just got to accept it at this point.
But I think it's partially the fact of he knows that there's a little bit of money that can be made as a college quarterback, and yeah, it's just a wild thought that you can do. You can take that many laps around the college football world, and
I'd get tired of moving. I mean, he's got to be living out of a suitcase at this point.
I mean, that Indeed resume is going to have every single college on.
Dude, musicians don't travel this much. That's unbelievable, man.
It's the college football world tour.
Yeah, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines before we get to break. We got Clay in Montgomery. You're on the line. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all this evening?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm having a brain cramp right now. I grew up here in the Hope Hull area. I'm a Hooper Academy guy. And
okay, the Colts.
We had the Colts, and we had Lee Scott and Glenwood we played. I cannot remember for the life of me. What's the mascot for Glenwood?
The Gator.
The Gators?
Dang it! You caught it! Yeah. You caught it!
Yeah? Is that the... Yeah, I got it. I caught it before I said it. You're right. You're right.
No, I was just calling to mess with you. Talk about basketball. And I want to tell you, see if this, if you can see the same kind of correlation that I see.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to kind of worry me a little bit with Stephen Pearl. When DJ Durkins took over from being defensive coordinator and holding every team under 20 points,
mm-hmm.
his first game as a head coach, he gave up 45. And Stephen Pearl there was no doubt that he was the defensive coordinator of the basketball team, and we always played great defense. And our transition defense looks like, a baby diaper is what it looks like. I mean, we're not getting back, and we're committing stupid fouls. Our best player is making stupid fouls when they're beat on plays. That concerns me that the focus, you know, that he was putting on defense isn't there. I mean, am I getting in my head too much, or do you think that's a real possibility?
I wouldn't say you're getting in your head too much, Clay. I would say there are some visible issues with Auburn basketball, and I think a lot of it, and the numbers back this up, we mentioned this yesterday, it starts on the defensive end. And Christian and I are both big believers in the basketball gods, and Stephen Pearl is too, which is why it's fascinating to see the defensive struggles. If you do what you're supposed to do on that end of the floor, you'll get paid on the offensive end of the floor. That's just how the game works. And with it being so individualized in basketball, I don't understand why there is a fall off of Auburn not talking on defense, not shuffling their feet on defense, not really caring on defense, to be honest with you, Clay. And they try to just turn it on offensively, and it just doesn't work that way.
Well, and see, that's what I'm seeing in these games. And you know, it's wonderful that we're a top 20, the top 21 team, and you're griping about the team. I grew up through the late 80s and through the 90s.
Mm.
But it's on the offensive end, the problems I'm seeing there are they just hadn't played together enough. You know, you're cutting, and I'm thinking you're going to step back or vice versa, and you know, and so I can excuse some of those turnovers. Don't bother me as much, but on defense is effort. You know, you play defense with your feet. You get back. You don't get beat down the court, and you know, you create turnovers. You have run out. I mean, Auburn just does not have any transition, you know, offensive points to speak of this year. When they are absolutely their top 10 sports center.
Yeah.
You know, when you get, some of those runouts, but it's concerning to me on the defensive end. And I know we're short. We're not tall, but you can still play perimeter defense. If you're not tall, you at least have to play perimeter defense.
That's right. That's right. No doubt. And Clay, I think you are not alone in those frustrations. And I think and hope that some of that will get fixed over the next several weeks. And it has to once the Tigers get into SEC play. But, man, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in.
And what are they hollering at the Glenwood games? Go!
Warriors. Lee Scott, baby.
Appreciate it, Clay. Appreciate the call, my man. 334-321-1390. Yeah, Warriors or Tigers or literally anything, just not Glenwood.
That's also not the word.
There is no word. You've thrown everybody off.
There may have to be a word just in hour number two.
Oh, geez.
For people listening, as soon as I say the word, we've got to call in, but that'll be an hour number two thing.
I don't know.
We'll make it work.
It pretty much goes in line with everything else that happens on this show. Unstructured, unorganized, but we just make it work. Can you tell we're less than 2 weeks away from the holidays that it's just, we haven't cashed in, but we're just not as clean as we typically are.
I don't know.
Jeez. Okay, we got to get to break. Clay, thank you for calling in. Appreciate the basketball conversation. We'll have more of that coming up in hour number two. We're also going to talk about the college football playoff coming up in hour number two. We got a text in the text box about the playoff in terms of national champions and kind of predictions there and kind of taking sides on that. So all sorts of great conversations here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk more right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got about 30 minutes left in hour number one. And if you want to be a part of the conversation or any other conversation, you can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We got a couple of texts in there. We'll address it coming up in just a little bit about the college football playoff and different things like that. And a conversation, Christian, that you wanted to have in terms of the game changing forever, right, in college football and really in this particular conversation that we're about to have in college athletics as a whole. College athletics programs have begun to find loopholes and find different ways to succeed outside of the norms that the NCAA simply can't govern at the end of the day.
Basically, yeah. I mean, we talked about it about a week or so ago about the University of Utah and how they got the was it upwards of $400 or $500 million? The land grant, basically, of basically there's these parties that filter money into this one program.
It's a private equity deal.
Spits it all out, yeah. And they can profit from it, but also do the athletes and the infrastructure and everything at the University of Utah. And you've started seeing little bits of other schools trying to chip in and find their way. Well, the Big 12 and South Florida are now in some sort of agreement, which is funny because South Florida is not in the Big 12. I know that there are major discussions of the Bulls joining the Big 12 come the Big 12 conference expansion, which if this gets passed, you would imagine that that would be a wide open entrance to the Big 12 conference. But the Big 12 is nearing a $500 million capital deal with a firm linked to a South Florida trustee. And this all comes from the, I think it's like a commercial free out of Miami or out of wherever, but it's run by the University of South Florida. And so, yeah, the Big 12 is in advanced negotiations on a potential deal that's worth up to $500 million with a group centered around the Collegiate Athletic Solutions, the CAS, and it is co-founded by Weatherford Capital. And it's a firm managed by Will Weatherford, the chair of the University of South Florida Board of Trustees. And so if this is completed, the arrangement would provide each Big 12 school access to $30 million in optional capital and support conference-wide business operations. It would not involve selling equity or ownership stakes in the conference. It is described as an opt-in capital relationship for these schools. And so the negotiations basically reflect the changes in college athletics with NIL, name, image, and likeness, revenue sharing, and the NCAA-related legal settlement that allows schools to compensate athletes. And so the board also notes that the USF board approved a separate $22.5 million internal loan to its own athletics department to help share with revenue. So all in short, the Big 12 is close to a major deal with Weatherford linked to investment platforms offering member schools optional access for significant funding without giving up any control of the conference.
Which means
there's just going to be a lot of money around.
And the NCAA can't do a thing about it. And so, you know that I don't subscribe to the idea of pay to win, because that's not how it works. Look at professional sports, right? Especially baseball. It's paid to compete. Yes, everybody hates the Dodgers because of their entire lineup and their rotation and their farm system or whatever they have left of it. It doesn't really matter. But the guys on their roster, they're paying the most money.
Yeah.
But Dave Roberts is a pretty darn good manager and gets the most out of his guys and manages the game so well. That's why they win World Series. There's a reason the Yankees aren't winning, even though they have the top three paid roster every single year in Major League Baseball. It's pay to compete, not pay to win in sports.
Yeah, and this also is basically making it where there's a little bit more stability than booster-based NIL, because it all comes from the one sharehold, essentially, that gets distributed throughout the schools. And so it's, it has a little bit more stability, you would imagine. This would be more so in that professional model that we talk about, because everybody would be able to go in and look at every single player or every single team or whatever the case may be when it comes to involvement of paying kids more money.
Is it wild to think of an idea of a Utah or a South Florida that are involved in these multi-hundred-million-dollar deals to just basically funnel money into their athletics programs?
Before you say that, sorry to cut you off, reading a little bit more into it, essentially there is, the money is not free. Since it is an opt-in, if the schools opt in, they'll be expected to grow revenue, win, and to treat athleticism, or to treat athletics like a business. And so it all trickles down. If you want to spend more money, you can get money, but you better bring the results to pay for it as well.
Oh, yeah. No such thing as a free lunch, right? I mean,
but half the time in college football it is now. You can pay without having any sort of repercussions.
Yeah, I guess that's true. In terms of, that feels like it's more individualized compared to an entire athletics department, right? I mean, in that instance, you're talking about paying a quarterback $1 million or paying a coach, you know, $8 million a year or something like that.
That just might make it more professional where it falls on the program rather than the individual.
Well, I mean, put yourself in the third party situation. Put yourself in the shoes of them. It's like, okay, I'm going to give this athletics department $500 million, and you better win.
Yeah.
And you better, you better win. That's for the fans. But for the third party company, the Utah situation is a perfect example. They're using a private equity deal with a company in New York. Do you think the company in New York gives a crap if Utah football is good or not? If Utah softball is good? If Utah swim and dive is competitive? No, they don't care. What do they care about? They care about making money. And they invested in an athletics department that wasn't overly expensive like an Ohio State, one that they could afford, and one that they felt will generate enough revenue to pay themselves back and then some. That's how this is working, right? But is it crazy to think that these colleges like Utah and South Florida, who are making big deals like this to bring outside money in and create this massive generate revenue circle, basically, where they are upping the stakes to pay to compete, the day that the SEC and the Big Ten and all those major conferences take these group of 35, 40, 45 teams and create their own league, right? The day that we've talked about for years, where they tell the NCAA to kick rocks and we're going to go play over here and make our own league and govern ourselves. If you're those teams and you're Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, the two commissioners of the big two conferences, are you inviting Utah to be a part of that? Hell no. I'm not. I'm not letting Utah. No, I'm not bringing Utah. Do you think if the other teams in Major League Baseball could come together with LA sitting on the outside and they could vote to evict the Los Angeles Dodgers like it was Big Brother? Do you think they would? Absolutely they would.
I don't know if they would, because they know that when the Dodgers are going to play whoever and the Dodgers are on the road, it's going to bring value to their market.
Yeah, maybe. From
but
the
if you're,
TV if side
you're
of things.
If you're just talking about from a player, like a team mm-hmm. perspective, not taking the outsider dollars.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Yeah.
Because it would be more of the fact of if Utah is insane at football in 3 years, yeah, you're going to bring them in because you know that Utah is now must-see TV.
Huh? Well, that's actually a good counterpoint. I didn't think about that.
Because, again,
Then you got to start weighing
again,
it.
Because, again, Petitti and Sankey, they don't care about wins. They care about money, which goes right back to what you were talking about in New York. And if Utah brings in a bunch of revenue, who cares if they go 3-8? Or 3-9, or whatever the case may be. If they bring in money,
Yeah.
But again, that's a completely different sidetrack point of where you are getting to.
But it is a good caveat to it. But that's the thing, is I think there could be a world where they're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know.
It brings a lot more dramatics, bringing in third party, fourth party, fifth party almost into what would be a new league when it gets created.
Yeah, and then at that point, you're really talking about revenue sharing with TV deals and same way you do with conferences right now, where each team gets a share of the 10-year ESPN deal that these conferences make and things like that. Bottom line is there's so much money that's being thrown around, and I just keep – we talked about this – I mean, I talked about this years ago when I took over doing this show. It's like, man, I'm waiting for somebody or multiple somebodies – to get burned so bad that they finally put their foot down and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not paying that money. I'm not investing in this. I'm tired of getting screwed. Even if I am rich, I'd rather spend that on another beach house. I'd rather put that into, you know, my third kid's college, whatever the case may be, or even the average Joe that says, man, I'm tired of giving my school $1,000 a year. That's, you know, half of my month's rent or half of my monthly income. What, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm waiting for that day for people to collectively come together and say, man, enough is enough. We're tired of putting all this money into stuff that at the end of the day, and I hate to say this as a sports fan and a sports talk show, man, it doesn't matter that much. It's college sports, man. We're talking college football.
We're talking about practice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I keep waiting on that day, but man, we're getting so far away from it. We've gotten 10 times worse than when I talked about that 3 years ago.
Well, it's the same thing that Charles Barkley brought up. Was it, what, last offseason about giving a bunch of money, saying he's giving more money than anybody else to Auburn, but the ROI is not there. And and when it's all said and done, these are college kids. The unfortunate fact of the matter is he obviously doesn't have the power in the SEC these days and in college football to be able to make those decisions. And there's only about 10 schools in the world of college football that have the power to make some of those changes.
Well, it's funny you say that. Somebody just texted into our text box at 334-784-1067 asking if we've seen the NIL quotes from Troy Aikman. And I had not seen this, but it's basically right in line with what you just mentioned with Charles Barkley, the one that I did see the Barkley stuff. I have not seen the Troy Aikman one where he says,
with UCLA, right?
Yes, yeah, he said, I'm done. He said, I'm done with NIL investments. He said, quote, where I'm at is, I think there has got to be some leadership at the very top that kind of cleans all of this up, and starting with players that accept money. There's got to be some accountability and responsibility on their behalf to have to stick with a program. Troy Aikman goes on to say, quote, I gave money to a kid. I won't mention who. I've done it one time at UCLA. Never met the young man. He was there for a year. He left after the year. I wrote a sizable check and he went to another school. I didn't even get so much as a thank you note. So it's one of those deals to where I'm done with NIL. I mean, I want to see UCLA be successful, but I'm done with it, end quote from Troy Aikman. So, there's at least one example, but then the problem is, you've got one millionaire that, or two millionaires, if you include Troy Aikman and Charles Barkley, that say, nope, I'm done, not doing it again, we've learned our lesson. There's five more millionaires who don't know and haven't learned that lesson or don't care, who are more than willing to step up and not just donate their part. They'll make up for the part that Troy Aikman doesn't donate.
That's what I was about to say. It's not the fact that they haven't felt it yet. It's the fact that they don't care. And, oh, you paid that kid and he left? Cool. I still want to win. Come to my school. I'll match it.
I don't get it. It seems like it's a never-ending black hole of money that – I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand it because I don't have millions in my bank account and never have to check my online banking again. But I don't know. I mean, I truly believe that that day will come at some point. I just don't know when, and I don't know how. Because if you've got guys like Charles Barkley and Troy Aikman, some of the biggest names in media, in sports media, who have vocally said, yeah, I'm not doing it because I got screwed and people won't listen to that, and that doesn't make an impact, and that doesn't make a ripple effect, then what will?
Yeah. If that doesn't make an impact, the hundreds of thousands of people that you mentioned that throw in half of their rent to try and make the tiniest little drop in the buckets, that dollar means nothing. Those voices mean nothing if these biggest if the biggest guys in the world don't make any sort of impact.
Crazy, man.
At least Troy Aikman's been really happy, especially with the Dolphins last night.
My man was not happy last night.
I mean, it's flabbergasted multiple times
He was not happy, dude. He was really mad. He was right. He was just, he was really unhappy. Oh, Tua. That was something else. All right, we got to get to break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a minute or two before we get into hour number two, where we will begin to look towards this weekend because, believe it or not, college football playoff is here. First game Friday night, three games on Saturday, so should be a great weekend of college football. We'll talk about that.
The state of Alabama college football playoff is tonight.
Dude, I totally swear on everything. Saturday night, Jack Hutton and I are sitting in the Wings 94.3 studio waiting to go live for after the game, and he turns on the TV, and it was a bowl game. It was the Washington-Boise State game.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, is this a rerun? He said, no, it's on. And I said, we're in bowl season already?
There's
and
been
sure
two
enough,
of them. Yeah.
We're in freaking bowl season. Yeah, Troy and Jack State play tonight.
It's wild.
Stupid, man. It's crazy.
In the Crampton Bowl, baby.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's in Montgomery.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, they made.
We've both been there plenty of times.
Dude, that's whatever. Never mind.
You can go get tickets for $21. That's the same price you can go watch Alabama and
Arizona.
It's
more expensive than that game. So we'll talk about that, plus kind of just a lot of things in college football, maybe some college basketball in hour number two as well. But we told you earlier in the show that we were going to do this once an hour, and we're going to do it right now. For the first caller at 334-321-1390, our friends at Rally House giving away last-minute $50 gift cards. If you need to buy one more shirt, one more sweatshirt, one more hat for your Christmas shopping, $50 gift card is yours right now. First caller, 334-321-1390. Get on in here. We'd love to give it to you. Got to come by and pick it up in person. All right, we'll talk to you. Here we go.
We got a green light.
There it is. We'll talk to you about it on the phone. Oh, my goodness, here they come. One person's going to be happy. Several people are going to be upset. We'll do it again in hour number two, but stick around. That's coming up.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a nice Tuesday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. A little chilly for some, but, I mean, sun is shining, and I know it's been cold at night, man. I absolutely love it. People around here hate it, but that's okay. Hour number two is underway. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we talked some big topics, the transfer portal, some big names who are entering the portal outside of Auburn, some that have Auburn ties that are entering the portal as well, and some big names in college football who are staying put, which you feel like is rare nowadays, but I had some good conversation there. Plus, the idea that it didn't take long for big name teams in athletic programs to basically find loopholes in college sports and how to funnel money into their programs and try to win as many championships as they possibly can. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you could check out the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're going to take a look at the college football playoff games this weekend. Early matchups or early storylines that are coming out of all of these games. Again, eight teams in action this weekend for the bowl games that legitimately matter. Thanks, college football. We will talk about that, actually, at 3:30 as well, about how college football and the college football playoff has ruined bowl season forever. And we will talk about that on how, again, just all of the negative effects, because, man, I used to love waking up and it would be bowl season. I'd have games marked out. We'd have bowl pick'em, bowl mania.
We'd have one on TV like right now.
Yeah.
You know what
every
I mean?
Single one. And it would be absolutely incredible. But who's in? And if you're not in, you're out, and that has ruined bowl season forever. We'll also talk a little bit about college basketball in here as well, college basketball bracketology, and also some really good games in college basketball here coming up tonight and this weekend, all of that coming up here in hour number two.
Yeah, so a lot to get to. Phone lines are wide open in this hour. If you want to be a part of the show, you absolutely can. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I want to go back to a text from the first hour that was talking about the college football playoff, which we're getting into now, that says that I, Jacob, can take Indiana. This texter will take the field to win the college football national championship, and he's confident in the field winning and not Indiana because no team ranked out of the top 10 in terms of the overall roster has ever won the national championship. So would you take that bet? Would you take Indiana, the number one ranked team in the country? Or would you take the field? I don't think this is a fair bet.
I would take the 11 other teams in the college football playoff.
And for me, you could cut out the G5 teams, obviously.
Sure.
And I would still take the field. Now, do I think Indiana has a chance to win the national title? Absolutely, I do. And they proved that when they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. But don't worry, Ohio State didn't care. Ohio State didn't want to be there, right? That's what a lot of people said. I think Indiana is a darn good football team. But at the end of the day, I would bet on the most talented team, and there's no question on who that is.
And there's a lot of people saying that Fiesta Bowl in the semifinals could lead into your national champion. If everything plays out as chalk, the winner of Georgia and Ohio State.
Could be. I mean, very well could be. Georgia has to feel pretty good. I mean, can we just admit here that Ohio State got a better draw as the 2 seed than Indiana did as the 1 seed?
Or that Georgia got arguably the best seed of them all?
And probably the best bowl game of them all. The Sugar Bowl?
I'd say the Rose Bowl still trumps that, but Georgia.
Do you think Indiana fans are happy about having to hop on a plane from Bloomington, Indiana, to go all the way out to Pasadena?
Referring to the individual bowl game itself, not based off of location.
Well, you know my hot take on the Rose Bowl at this point.
But Georgia, you've already beat Ole Miss, and you get to either play them or Tulane.
Yeah.
Rather than Ohio State gets A&M or Miami. I understand that Ohio State should beat either one of those teams, but just the fact of where you're sitting right now, I mean.
Yeah.
Rather than Texas Tech gets Oregon, and then Indiana's going to get OU.
They could get James Madison.
No, Texas Tech is going to get Oregon. And then Indiana gets either Alabama or Oklahoma, which you should still feel confident in either one of those. But for all you know, that's the one time that Ty Simpson in the Rose Bowl decides to throw for 400 yards and figure it out, and they can run the ball in that game as well.
Yeah, I mean, very well could be. But overall, right, there should be some good games in the college football playoff. There's a lot of good matchups. There's a lot of good storylines. Obviously, a couple of rematches here since Oklahoma went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama in the regular season. Now Alabama is trying to return the favor in Norman as 1.5-point favorites, by the way, which we're not making official picks today. We'll do that on the Free For All Friday show. But do you like the rematch? And B, are you subscribing to the line of thinking of, well, it's hard to beat a team twice. Hard to do it twice in one season. Oklahoma's got no chance.
I was going to say, I'm guessing we're the Alabama-Oklahoma rematch rather than a Tulane-Ole Miss rematch.
Yes. Yeah.
There are two of them. This one is really interesting because you flip where the game is being played, right? I mean, OU walked into Bryant-Denny and got the upset 24-21 late in the regular season. You now get a game in Norman, and it's a standalone game on the 19th. I guess I abide by that thinking of it's hard to beat a team twice, but that being said, I feel like that also goes into the conversation we have about head coaches and coordinators about how they make their job more difficult, because it's hard to beat a team twice. Well, it makes it a hell of a lot easier when you bring a completely different game plan than what won you the first game. And you feel like that's usually what happens. And then it goes into, okay, you're now halfway through the second quarter, and it's, okay, we're finally seeing a little bit of what we saw from the regular season game, rather than bringing a completely different mindset because we think they're going to make adjustments about what we did the first time.
I promise you, in this game, Alabama-Oklahoma, it's really not that complicated.
No.
Don't overthink this. Oklahoma is 106th in the country in yards per game on the ground. Alabama is 117th in yards per game on the ground. Alabama, yards per carry, 3.5. Oklahoma, 3.7. They can't run the ball. It's not that difficult. Just get after the quarterbacks. Get after them. You don't have to load the box. You don't have to hope and worry that they figure it out. Don't do this. Well,
it didn't work last time.
Didn't work last time. And what if they just figure it out today? What if they have adjusted and they go away from it? So where, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about that so much.
And that's why that line of thinking, I do believe that it is more difficult because you're more familiar. I think there's so much of a mental side of things that goes way overlooked based off of adjustments that are unnecessary.
Yeah.
Now, do I think adjustments need to be made? Yes. That being said, if your offense is really good at one thing and not so good at the other, do the thing your offense is good at until they make adjustments and they stop it. Then you throw in your wrinkles.
Which, in this case, would be both teams just dropping back and letting it fly.
Yeah.
Right?
Or if you're Oklahoma, since you can't run the ball through the pocket or in the tackle box, get John Mateer outside the pocket. Let him roll out so that way he can make plays with his legs and use those as almost true running plays in the backfield.
If that's the case, do you not jump all over a 40.5 total in this game? With the line being 1.5, you're telling me this game's going to be...
It's 40.5 is the total.
I mean, you're telling me this is going to be 21-19, give or take, 21-20. I jump on that.
Considering the first matchup was 24-21, unless both offenses come out and overly try and establish the run really early on, because it's one of those, if it doesn't work early, we got to keep on trying it. It'll work in the fourth quarter.
You're not just going to magically learn how to run the football in game 13 of the season. Sorry, you're just not. It's not going to happen. Unless Oklahoma puts one defensive lineman on the line and everybody else, they drop 10.
I think Jam Miller also plays a big effect if he's healthy or not. Because
he played in the first game, right?
Yes, but he got hurt.
He just didn't play in the SEC championship.
He got hurt against Auburn, didn't play in the SEC championship, and that's you showed why they could not run the football. If he's back, I think it makes a little bit of an impact because they did run the ball decently in the first half against Auburn. So,
but they didn't run it all that great against Oklahoma when they played them in Tuscaloosa. Alabama ran for 80 yards as a team. Jam Miller,
how many
nine
times
carries,
did Ty Simpson get sacked in that game?
He had 8 carries for negative 9 yards. He was sacked. Hold on.
I guess more than the number of the yardage. Yeah, had negative 9 yards.
He was sacked 4 times.
But even with that, that's only negative 9 yards. It wasn't the fact that they ran for 120, but he had 40 yards of sack loss. It was 9.
Yeah. Of the 80 total rushing yards, 28 of those came on one run by Daniel Hill. So if you take out that outlier, I mean, Alabama really did not run the ball good at all against Oklahoma. But on the flip side, look at Oklahoma against Alabama. They ran for 74 yards as a team with 2 carries of 20-plus yards. Like, that's horrible. That's ridiculous to me.
So if that's the case, if you're telling me to jump on the 41, then I'm not doing it.
Why?
Just because you said to.
Oh. Well, there's that. So you do have the Alabama-Oklahoma game. You mentioned the other rematch in Tulane and Ole Miss. This was a 17-point spread. It still is. But the first time these two teams met, it was not pretty, right? It was in week 4 of the season. Ole Miss won by 35 in Oxford. And Tulane heads right back there to Ole Miss. And of course, Lane Kiffin's not there. It's Pete Golding who's coaching the team. Like, we know all of the storylines there. I do think that allows Tulane to be more competitive in this game, but I don't trust them to win this game. Do you? I mean, are you banking on Tulane to pull off the upset against Ole Miss in Oxford on a Saturday afternoon this weekend?
No, and weirdly enough, I mean, it could be one of those things where Pete Golding gets way more hype than he deserves to get if a big win for Ole Miss is what happens, or he gets criticized a lot more if it's a close win. You know, if you get blown out or if you lose this game, I think there's a little bit more of a conversation for it. But no, I don't expect this to be too much of an overall contest.
Speaking of Tulane, did you see what John Summerall and his family did?
Yeah, the $100,000 to their NIL fund.
How cool is that?
It is really cool.
I saw some people trying to pick it apart and be like, using it as a please don't be mad at me gift on his way out, which I don't think it's that way. I didn't see it.
Even if
it
is,
way.
The fact that it's he's nice, one of the first coaches to do it is.
I would take a $100,000 apology. Sorry, we're breaking up, but, you know, here's a check.
Yeah.
That would have made all my breakups in high school much easier. You kidding me?
I mean,
you're not going to say no.
I guess I would take it. And the fact that it's already happening, there just happens to be the kindness of sliding some dollars your way.
Yeah, but this is also a prolonged breakup, too, where it's like
it is.
You're trying to live in the good moments down the stretch, but you know that she's leaving for a better man at the end of it. That's harsh. But if she's
at
leaving,
least it's not a dirty breakup. It's more because he's talked about it of he hopes that everybody still does really well, and
yeah,
he even told the Tulane kids that were signing with Tulane to stay there because he didn't want to impact everything that, you know, their future and whether that's the amount of the talent that he was getting or what. But
look, she found a new man. He just happens to have more money than you, but she is going to give you some of that money just to say thank you and hope that everything goes well.
Wow, seems pretty traumatic.
That's the comparison. I don't think it was that way. I thought it was nice. I thought it was cool of the Summeralls to do that. They didn't have to.
My thing was more so, why is that the first time that that's happened? For the amount of
coaches.
It may
not be. Maybe the first time publicly that it's happened.
I feel like that would have still gotten out somehow.
Yeah, I agree. And Because you definitely don't have to. That's not Summerall's job.
Tulane's like only 100K. I
mean, didn't you just sign
to
go to be the University of Florida's head football coach for like $7.5 million?
Aren't you making $5.5 million more than what you were making, and that's all that you're leaving me with?
Yeah, I mean, so maybe it was a kick to the, you know, to the parts. I don't know. I guess you have to ask the people at Tulane how they feel about it. But he also could have bolted and said, yeah, have fun in the playoff. I'm going to go be the head coach at Florida.
Sure.
Now we got a dude wearing a Tulane hat and a Florida t-shirt. Like,
yeah, he's making graphics of himself with half a Tulane hat, half a Gator hat, saying I got two phones. And
he hasn't helped himself.
I got two phones, two responsibilities, and what, 2 hours of sleep or whatever the case was?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Good for the Summerals is what I'm trying to say in this conversation. Good for them.
Good for them, and happy to see that you'll be in Gainesville full-time here next weekend.
Yeah, enjoy your quick trip from Oxford to Gainesville. I'm pretty sure you can get a direct flight. So, okay. Anything to say? This makes me mad every time I look at it. Oregon is a 3-touchdown favorite, dude. 3 touchdowns. And most people I know are saying, hammer it. They believe Oregon's going to walk out there and beat them by 40.
Unless that's just one of those you get up in late second quarter and just eat clock in the second half with your two deep guys.
Yeah, that game could be ugly. But I want to take a break and come back and talk about Miami-Texas A&M.
Sure.
Because that is by far, I think, the most intriguing game of the opening round.
I agree.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Before we do, we've given away one gift card.
Yes.
And we're planning on giving away a second in hour number two. And whether this goes good or it doesn't go good, we're going to try it anyways. I meant to do it earlier in hour number two to build up suspense instead of wasting 17 minutes doing so. I have a word that I will be using in the final 40 minutes of the show, and that word is epidemic. And so when I say that word, not now, but in the remaining 40 minutes of hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, when I say that word, the first button that lights up, that Jacob will pick up the phone and answer, whether it's during a break or whether it's in the middle of a show or in the middle of a segment, you'll be the winner of a $50 Rally House gift card.
Yeah, our friends at Rally House have given us $50 gift cards, 2 per show. We've given away one. The Drive will have a couple as well. Have no idea how they want to give them away, but they can do it however they would like. But last-minute Christmas gift cards, $50 to Rally House. So shout-out to them. It's in Tigertown. We've been out there several times for the shows, and so shout-out to them. We're giving those away here on the program today. And so what's the word?
The word, this is not it. It starts after this commercial break. And by the way, there is an asterisk of you have to come.
Yeah. You got to come by our office here in town in Auburn and come get it. A lot of you have been here and won stuff from us before at Auburn Network. We'll tell you where we are and how to get to us over the phone. But
so apologies for our Texas listeners and Oregon listeners and Bahamas listeners.
Yeah.
Unless $50 at Rally House would do that much for
you. Unless you just want to donate it back to us. Then.
Sure, yes. That could also happen as well. But no, starting after the break, the word is epidemic.
Epidemic. All right. We'll see what happens. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Miami and Texas A&M. Just kidding. Miami and Texas A&M. We'll talk about that right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking the college football playoff because, yes, it is this weekend, and it starts on Friday. I love that they're doing a game Friday night and then the rest of them just stacked up on Saturday.
It's the same thing for the quarterfinals, too, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. There's a game on New Year's Eve, and then the rest of them are on New Year's Day, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, who plays on New Year's Eve? Yeah, Ohio State.
It's Ohio State and Miami.
Or Texas A&M.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Yes, we are talking the Canes and the Aggies. Because as good as Alabama-Oklahoma could be, I think this is the best game of the first round, even though the other game has a lower spread. Texas A&M favored by about a field goal. The only problem with this game that I have, Christian, it's in Aggieland, which is awesome, at Kyle Field, which is a great atmosphere. The fact that this is the 11 a.m. game on Saturday, what are we doing? Why not get the Oregon-James Madison game out of the way? You're telling me they earned the night game Saturday?
You know why? Go to the National Football League.
Are they playing games on Saturday this weekend?
They're Saturday night games this week, yeah.
Why? They started that years ago, the NFL did, with like the wild card games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they playing games on Saturday this weekend?
They have two of them. They have the Eagles Commanders at 4 o'clock, and they have the Packers Bears at 7:20 on Saturday, December 20th.
Wait, my Packers game got moved to Saturday?
Yep.
They flexed that to Sunday Night Football like 2 weeks ago.
It's Saturday Night Football.
What the heck?
Yeah.
What?
Eagles Commanders play the afternoon game Saturday, December 20th, and the Packers go to Chicago at 7:20.
I totally missed that because I saw them move it a few weeks ago. I told you about it. They had flexed it to a Sunday night game.
Are you sure it said Sunday night, or did you see the 20th at 7:20?
What are we doing?
Yeah, so you now have semi-professional football and professional football all day Saturday.
This is one of the few times where you don't want multiple games going on at the same time. This is not the NCAA basketball tournament where I want to watch four games at once. Like, we're coming down the home stretch of the NFL season, which some people around here don't care much about, and that's fine, even though my Packers season is just up in freaking flames.
It's okay, you won in fantasy this week.
Damn right I did.
We both did.
Yeah, we're moving on, baby. Moving on. God, they are putting that on Saturday. I'm glad you said that. I had no idea. Yeah. I've been telling myself Sunday night all week.
So that's the reason that they're putting the Oregon-James Madison game, because they know that nobody's going to watch that. They'll actually willingly watch NFL football.
Fox gave ESPN just a double whammy middle finger on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I remember, man, back in the day, way back when, back in the 1800s, you know, I'm talking like 10 or 15 years ago, when the NFL and college sports had that unspoken agreement of, we're not going to play on the same days. We're not going to. Same thing with the NFL and the NBA, right, on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
NFL gave up on that. There's two games on Netflix now.
Yeah, Christmas Day was dominated by the NBA.
Yeah. That's so crazy, man.
I remember, oh, man, those jerseys used to be so sweet.
Yeah, you'd have like five games from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Christmas Day, and my family could never understand why I wanted it on in the TV in the background. They'd be so mad. But I loved it. They really did put two NFL games on Saturday with the college football playoff.
That was back when the NBA had one of the greatest commercials ever. And it's the five sharpshooters standing around the three-point line.
It's Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant,
James Harden. Damian Lillard.
Yes.
Steve Nash, I believe, is in that group as well.
Steve Nash, I believe, unless he's the one that throws the lob to LeBron
at the
end.
He is, but he's still in the arc of the shooters, and then LeBron comes in and dunks it down.
Yeah.
The Jingle Hoops.
Jingle Hoops.
Ah, fantastic.
One of the greatest commercials ever.
Yeah.
That was back when they essentially had the NBA Color Rush uniforms.
Yeah. Dude, I'm baffled that the NFL really said, oh, college football playoff? That's cute. Here's Packers-Bears for Saturday night football.
Yeah. You started having Maction on Monday night? That's cool. Watch this.
That's crazy. Well, okay. I'm glad we talked about Miami-Texas A&M. That was good. We will talk about that matchup when we come back and why the college football playoff has basically ruined bowl season forever, because there's a bowl game tonight. Did you know that? Most people probably didn't. We talk about all that and more coming up next as we have 30 more minutes on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And phone lines continue to be open on today's show, 334-321-1390 for sports conversations or other things. And the text box is open as well, 334-784-1067. And want to have a couple of minutes to dive into the Miami and Texas A&M game. Do want to mention there is another portal entry for Auburn football. Jay Crawford, sophomore DB, has announced his intentions to enter the transfer portal. And that one, Christian, that one, you feel it, right? Yeah. That one's like that's a gut punch. That one hurts. Just be from a potential standpoint. And I mean, he saw pretty good playing time, but one that I think Auburn fans were extremely hopeful for. Of course, when he got here and what his career could be here. And, Jay Crawford announces his intention to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, had 11 tackles, 4 pass deflections, and an interception. And that interception came I just had it pulled up. The interception came against Missouri in the 23-17. That was when Brady Cook tried to throw it down the sideline, and it was – underthrown a little bit. And so, yeah, that one hurts a little bit. The sophomore from Atlanta, Georgia, has planned to enter the transfer portal once it opens here in, 2.5 weeks or so?
Yeah, and to be clear, right, we continue to say it that way because that's how you have to say it, because the portal is not open until January 2nd. But it's basically, here's the bottom line. The announcement is not made, the graphic is not made, the news doesn't break if they are still in limbo about entering the transfer portal, right? Let's say player X woke up this morning and said, yeah, I think about entering the transfer portal. He doesn't put that out there, and it doesn't get reported before he talks to coaches and the negotiations happen and the one-on-one conversations happen. Like, the reason the news is breaking, it's because all of that back-end stuff has already taken place.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
the conversations, the money, the mutual parting of ways, whatever the case may be, all of that has already happened. With every single player you see that has a graphic that plans on entering the transfer portal, right? DJ Lagway, for an example, all of those conversations have already happened. These guys that are announcing it, don't hang your hat on them coming back for any reason. Could there be situations? Absolutely. Are miracles a thing? Sure. But 99.5% of the players that you have already heard about and will continue to hear about over the next 2 weeks that, quote, plan to enter the portal will have their name in it come January 2nd, including Jay Crawford.
Yeah, and again, yeah, there's a couple of names that you could think of last year. I know Amaris Williams was kind of the one for Auburn that whether or not used the transfer portal as leverage or whatever, but put his name in the portal and then returned. But that is the very uncommon way that the transfer portal is used, question mark?
Yeah. I mean, again, can it happen? Sure. But and if it does, see it as a plus, as a positive. But don't be like, oh, well, no, he's in the portal, but maybe we can get him back. No, don't bank on that. You're
that
setting
would just
yourself
be the,
up for pain.
That would be the bone. Auburn fans don't do that.
No, no.
That would be more of the, oh, look, okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. All right. Yeah, he did come back. All right. Maybe it'll work out. So, Jay Crawford, another one for all.
But like what you said, and we are going to get to Miami and Texas A&M, but you said it over the break of with DJ Durkin being retained, and now you bring these defensive guys back that Durkin basically asked for and was able to get, you'll trust the majority of the defensive staff. Nothing against any of the guys that have decided to enter, but I will trust the coaching staff on the right way to go about it.
Yeah, I'm going to trust DJ. The fact that, A, he was retained by Alex Golish, but, B, just from what DJ is, I mean, I'm with you. I'm going to trust him on guys that are entering the portal on the defensive side of the football. So,
well, while we get into
Oh, we had a phone call.
Say into the phone lines. Yeah, but no. Well,
want to get back to Miami and Texas A&M since we've teased that for about 30 minutes and haven't talked about it. So.
Yeah, Texas A&M, 11-1, the 7th-ranked team in the country. Miami at 10-2. They slip into the college football playoff despite all of the drama that I still feel like is a little bit unwarranted. Both teams were 10-2, and Miami beat Notre Dame. I don't really know what else there was to...
Yeah, I think it's more so just the idea of a team from a major Power Four conference who didn't play in their conference championship game was the only team to get in from the ACC. And yet there are still people who want to argue that that conference is good. And it's just simply not.
But how dare the ACC and the athletic director and the commissioner or whoever... How dare they vouch for Miami, who's in the ACC, over Notre Dame, who's not?
Do you think Notre Dame, since that's been about a week or so since that's happened, do you think they've woken up one of these days this week and been like,
ooh. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have made a mess about... I doubt it, because did you see the post that they made about going bowling?
No. Is it on X?
Unless it's... a gotcha.
Oh, no. Did you get got again?
No, it's not the way that you think.
What's it like? What? Basically, they were celebrating that they qualified for a bowl game. They just didn't accept a bowl game?
No. So they made a we're going bowling. There it is. This is from Notre Dame football. It says, we're taking our ball and we're going bowling. This holiday season, we will compete in a bowling event to raise money for local South Bend organizations. They're having a player-wide bowling tournament. And say that they're going bowling. That's the post that they made. And you can donate to support their local organizations.
Shut up, dude. No freaking way. Hold on. I'm looking for it. Where is it? When did they post it?
What day December was 10th, 2025.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, I've got to scroll all past their Heisman stuff from New York. Okay. The premise of the idea, I like it. If they're donating money and funds to local charities, that's great. Good.
I can copy and paste the website.
If you want to look found it.
Yeah.
Taking our ball and going bowling. Oh, that post has 2.6 million impressions on the internet. Goodness. Good for them for donating a bunch of money to local charities.
But that was one more backhand on the way out the door.
So the answer to my question is no. They have not woken up this week and realized that they
That was almost a week ago. But yeah, I don't see that it changes anything.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, Miami, Texas A&M, the two teams that did get into the college football playoff. 10th seed of Miami, 7th seed of Texas A&M. Aggies favored by just 3 at home, 11 a.m. kick on Saturday morning. You like this game a lot.
I love this game just from the storylines and what it could mean. I mean, I think it's a crime that they have, again, this game at 11 a.m. at Kyle Field in College Station, where you know that it would have been one of the greatest college football home sites just based off of crowd, based off of stadium, if you could have given it the late afternoon or the night kick. Mm-hmm. I think it gives Miami a little bit more benefit of the doubt and... No official picks quite yet, but all week, when this first came out, it was, okay, A&M, they've got it. But the more that I think about it, the more that I don't hate the Miami pick whatsoever. You feel like with Carson Beck, who's been there and done that, yes, has been turnover prone, but you feel like he either turns the ball over 4 times in a game or doesn't turn it over and throws for 4 touchdowns. Which Carson Beck are you going to get? You also have Mark Fletcher in the backfield for Miami, who's been an absolute force in the backfield. I think Miami has an incredible defense as well. Marcel Reed and that offense struggled a little bit down the stretch, and if they get off to a slow start where Miami can jump out by 10 points or 14 points and run the football and try and ice this game and milk the game and try and make it to where each team only has 4 possessions and a half, this leans more and more towards the Miami Hurricanes, but then it goes back to my initial thought of how I had Marcel Reed as a top 5 quarterback in the SEC. I felt like I was one of the only ones to do that. And I still love Marcel Reed. I still love KC Concepcion. I still love Mario Craver. I still love the offensive line. If the running backs can get healthy and make this a really fun game, then you feel like A&M should be able to dominate. So many different storylines, so many possibilities come out of this game. And I feel like that's why this game is so intriguing, right? When you look at the other game, Alabama-Oklahoma, you feel like you know what both teams are going to give each other.
That's a great point. Yeah.
In this game, there's so many different ways that both of these teams could choose to go about their business in this contest that makes it so much of a toss-up.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think the Alabama-Oklahoma game will be good, but you're right. I think both teams, if they're smart, will just realize this is what we're good at and we're going to go after it, which you would think the defenses would prepare that way, but then you have to scheme it up and do it in different ways, right? We talked about that a little bit earlier, but you mentioned Craver and Concepcion. That was the direction I was going, was the receiver matchup here, or I guess the receiver comparison, since they don't actually go against one another. You got Mal Katone on the other side.
He's one of my favorite players
in
college football.
Man.
And I loved him from week zero when they played Notre Dame, or was it week one? I think it was week one. Or was it that night game at week zero? Regardless, had an incredible game in that, as did C.J. Daniels. He was the one that made that one-handed catch in the end zone on the ball that everybody thought that Carson Beck overthrew.
Yeah.
Had, an insane grab. Malachi Toney has 84 grabs on the year for 970 yards, seven touchdowns, also has almost 100 yards on the ground and a touchdown, and is also 4 of 6 through the air for almost 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. And so they have found ways to get their playmaker the football. He's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Both of these offenses, when they're clicking, they are. When these two offenses are moving and thumping and bumping, they're a lot of fun. And both defenses can be the same way. I mean, you're looking at a Texas A&M defensive front that I don't think Miami has seen this year in terms of the size and the agility and the talent that A&M is going to bring to that Miami offensive line. But I think Miami's got some dudes on that side of the football, and as much as Auburn fans don't want to admit it, Keontae Scott's balled out at Miami this year.
He has
absolutely balled out over there, winning awards and all sorts of stuff. And so
they've put him in different spots. They've put him kind of as that star and that nickel. That
I think they let him play the spots he wanted to play. What a crazy idea that was. And you know me, and I've talked about both of these teams very openly.
This is the Jacob Haight game.
I hate this game. I do. It will be a phenomenal game, and I'm very excited to watch it, but I hate both of these teams.
And it's a win-win for you because you will be able to absolutely publicly bash the loser of this game.
This is the ultimate I told you so game, because one of them has
you
to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
You can't lose in this game. Regardless, you will be able to come on here and absolutely rip the losing team a new one.
I will, because I've said all year that Texas A&M is a good team, but they are not a national title contender because of their resume, the fact that they have played 1, 2, 3, 4 different teams whose head coaches got fired this year, and they lost the last game of the year on the road against probably the toughest opponent they played outside of Notre Dame in Texas, right? So I've called them phonies all year long in terms of competing for a national championship. They're still a good football team. They're 11-1. You have to be good to have that record in the SEC. I just don't think they're good enough to make a run in a national title. That's all I've said about A&M. Miami, on the other hand, my argument's not as strong, but just based off the eye test, I just don't trust them. I don't trust Carson Beck to win big games like this. When it comes down to, and I know he's done that before. I know. But this is not Georgia. This is Miami. This is a different head coach, too, who I also don't trust. And
yeah, that's a good point.
You're telling me that you're battle-tested after beating Florida State by 6? You're telling me that you're battle-tested by beating up on Syracuse and NC State? You're telling me that that big old top 25 win on the road at Pitt in your season finale prepared you for what you're walking into on Saturday morning in Texas A&M at Kyle Field with 100-something thousand fans screaming in your face? No.
I think so, because Pitt was prepared. Because
they
didn't care about the Notre Dame game. They cared about the two games following. So
that's right.
Pitt gave them all they can handle.
You're right. So I don't trust Miami, and I don't think A&M is great. So all things considered, should end up being a pretty darn good football game.
And that's what it's planned out to be. I mean, a 3.5-point favorite for the home team. Home field advantage usually gives you a field goal.
Yeah.
So they're expecting this game to be a toss-up. I think it being an 11 o'clock kick favors the Hurricanes just a little bit. Could favor the offenses a little bit in there as well.
Yeah, should be a good one. That kicks things off on Saturday morning. Of course, Alabama and Oklahoma will start it off on Friday night. You also have in the college football playoff on Saturday, Tulane and Ole Miss is the mid-afternoon game. And then the night game is James Madison and the Oregon Ducks.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and real quickly talk about the college football playoff and how it has absolutely ruined bowl season forever and how it started with players opting out for the NFL draft and now how it means meaningless trophies. Teams just don't want out. I mean, the true epidemic of college football. We'll talk about that to wrap up the show here on the Free For All Friday. Whoa. It's basically a Free For All Friday, but it's only Tuesday. Only Tuesday.
Boo!
I think my out was too popular. I don't usually get... I mean, we got three of them.
Throw it to break. I got to answer the phones.
I'm just playing. We'll be right back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, and your word, it's not a word of the day, but our giveaway word was very successful in Epidemic, sir. You lingered on it a little too long. People were ready for it. They were ready.
I couldn't have figured it out. I couldn't figure out the way to use it, not talking about what is the epidemic of college football bowl games, but... Yeah,
again, we gave the gift card away, so don't call in looking for one.
As soon as I started throwing it to break, I don't even think I had said the word yet, and there were a couple callers.
Yeah.
But
congratulations to Thor in hour number one and Max in hour number two here, as they both won a $50 Rally House gift card. Rally House in Tigertown. If you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, they've got everything you need, from Auburn gear to some Christmas gear, everything you can buy online as well. So if you have a non-Auburn fan in your family that you need to buy a gift for, if you got a pesky Tennessee fan or something like that out there, you can buy them something online using rallyhouse.com, or for our lucky winners, you can use it at rallyhouse.com. So we gave away two $50 gift cards. The Drive has two that they're giving away as well from 4 to 6. I don't know if how they're doing it, but I guess you just have to stay tuned and find out how they plan on giving away two more $50 Rally House gift cards. They gave us some of those here right around the holidays. We appreciate them, and we look forward to our next time going out there. We have a lot of fun over there.
Thankfully, we don't know any hardcore Tennessee fans in the area.
No, we don't, thankfully. And, I mean, imagine cheering for Tennessee. That'd be crazy. It's been a great show today. We've talked a lot and covered a ton. A lot of college football today. I think all college football today.
We did have basketball on the rundown, but
we just didn't get to it.
No.
Yeah, we most likely will tomorrow, because tomorrow is Wednesday, which means we have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, so we'll get updates on Georgia football and Georgia basketball. We'll also talk to Double D, Daryl Dapprich, tomorrow of Locked On Auburn in the Barn, so he will have something to say about basketball as the Tigers prepare to travel to Indianapolis to take on Purdue on Saturday. God, that's on Saturday, too. Oh... What time is that?
That's the 5:30 game.
Is it really? Oh.
And to make it easier, it's on Peacock.
Is it really?
I'm pretty positive. Sorry, it's on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, you better believe it. 5:30, you're right. Oh, no. Dude. And for what it's worth, nobody listening cares, but I'm going home to celebrate early family Christmas this weekend, so I don't know if I'm going to win the vote of Christmas movie in the background while we're opening gifts and, you know, baking and doing all that stuff, or if we can put Auburn basketball, Green Bay Packers football, and college football playoff on
the TV. How many devices do you have?
A lot. A lot.
Computer. Yeah. I know you got your two phones.
Laptop, iPads. Yeah, we got the whole thing. God, Saturday's gonna be a crazy sports day, huh?
Which sucks, because any day in the regular season, that's awesome. That's all you really ask for is one of those weekends to have just about everything. But on a weekend like this,
where it's all three separate leagues and sports and things, wild
stuff. I guess for the average fan, it doesn't affect them as much as it does you with Auburn college football and the NFL.
Yeah, maybe not. But regardless, basketball is coming up, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show.
What a terrible complaint to have. I mean,
I know. First world problems, man. Oh, all
too
my
many
teams
sports.
Are too much. Oh, no. Whatever will I do? I guess I'll have to watch them all. Oh, no.
You're either going to be really happy on Sunday or really upset.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling I won't be feeling the Christmas joy come Saturday night about 9 o'clock. So we'll talk more about something tomorrow sports related. Couple of guests and some more portal news, I'm sure, and a whole lot more. 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.